This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Jim Pete is here, like all of our guests. He's on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Wolves in action again tonight against the best team in the league, the Oklahoma City Thunder. If you have a question or a comment for Jim and you want to text that to us, you certainly can. 651-461-9226. I realize the Wolves did not have Julius Randle last night. They didn't have Dante DiVincenzo. They did not have Mike Conley. But it was another game, Jim, and you see them all, where this team is playing an inferior team. There was no Giannis last night. There was no Dame. If that Milwaukee team plays together, they win about 20 games. That is a game this team should win about 99 out of 100 times. What do you think is going on in this? But there are other signs where you believe in this team. You think notable steps forward, including the bench and some of the young guys who we will discuss. But that is just an inexcusable loss. What's your theory on that?
You have to win that game. You have to win it. I mean, there's just no excuses. And, you know, I don't know if it was a hangover from what happened in Cleveland. You started 0 for 16. I can't explain it, Chad. I just, you know, I watched Chris Finch's post-game press conference, and, you know, I think he's even kind of searching a little bit, you know, for why it happens. I just think that teams have a character of their own, and so much of what happens starts in training camp. And, you know, I think that, you know, this whole thing got discombobulated, you know, with Julius Randle being traded, you know, at Karl-Anthony Towns being traded right before training camp. I mean, it happened on media, right before media day. And so I don't know. That's just what you're asking me, why I think this team is so Jekyll and Hyde compared to last year. I mean, obviously you don't have pieces that were very integral last year. Kyle Anderson was really important to Minnesota's. I mean, Chris Finch said it. How many times did he say it last year?
Yeah, a lot.
That, you know, and even like 2 years ago, like Kyle saved our season. You know, when we traded for Rudy Gobert that year, like he was the only player that could pass Rudy the basketball. And so like Kyle was kind of important. So this team is more like the team a couple of years ago that, you know, until they made the trade for Mike Conley and got him in the mix, you know, because, you know, this team was very inconsistent with D'Angelo Russell was at the helm. And so, I don't know. It's just one of those things where this is just a different team. This team is one that is very inconsistent. And that's been really the Bucks' problem, too, even with Giannis and with Damian Lillard. Like, you look at the Bucks' season, just watching them, you know, when I have – they've been wildly inconsistent, and there's a lot of teams that are in that same mix. It's why the Western Conference is there's so much parity, is because there's so many teams that are just, like, you know, losing games that they shouldn't lose. Injuries are playing a part of it. for sure. But it's just been a weird season from that perspective.
I get that you're looking for answers, and if you had it, you'd give a definitive one. And I'll concede the first couple months after the Towns Randall DiVincenzo trade, there's a lot going on. But when it's February 11th, to me, that's on those guys who are playing. That's on Ant. And I know Ant is just coming off a slew of 40-point games, and I'm not expecting him to be perfect. But, man, it's another game where he just started very poorly. Rudy was good. Nas stepped up later. But that is just a professional performance, which is needed because of your last answer. There is depth in the West. I don't think it's quite as loaded as some others. I got to be honest. I love Oklahoma City. I think the other teams are – there are some other teams that are very good. I don't think there's another great team in the West. That's why I look at the standings, and some days I convince myself, well, they're going to be a play-in team. And then I think, well, if they just would play 6 weeks at the capabilities, they could be in the third or fourth spot. And they just haven't picked a long enough path. And to be honest, this is the last game before the All-Star break. I truly don't have a great feel for how this team is going to play the next few months before the playoffs begin.
I don't either, because you got to integrate Dante back into the mix, and I don't know when he's going to play next. I mean, we're going to be through All-Star break, and then March is going to be here before you know it, and Dante's supposed to come back sometime in March, but I'm not sure exactly when. And they kind of need him to be really successful, and these young guys are definitely making a difference. I'm really Jalen Clark has been such a really nice addition. Because of the young guys, I don't think he was the one that people were thinking was going to step up. You know, he might have been behind Luka in some ways. You know what I mean? Like, we don't really have an idea of what he was going to be. But so Rob has kind of been flustered a little bit. He's turned the ball over, and he's not been great. He's had some really moments of where he looks really successful and like he's going to be a good player. And then, Terrence Shannon Jr. was going to be the guy. Like, everybody, when we picked him, was all the college coaches that I know called me and were telling me that we just got the steal of the draft. And Terrence has shown, here the last couple of games that he's gotten an opportunity that he's got some game in him. He played really well, had a career-high 11 points last night. Like, he looked good. And so, there's things to like about what's happened, but these last two losses have been really disappointing for me. It's like, Chad, you know how this goes, right? Like, where you have these single-game road trips, and, we work so hard. Like, you prep for the game, and you're watching games, and you're prepping, and you're doing all your due diligence, and you come to the game, and they just lay an egg, and you go, what the heck did I do all that work for?
Yeah.
Yes. And you flew,
okay, before we take a break.
Cleveland. Oh, man.
Yeah, come on. I'm here. I put the prep in. Let's go. We're getting some texts here, questions for Jim Pete. We'll get to Ant and end the games when we come back, but let's get to a few questions. I think this is the best one. Please ask Jim if he will be interested in being my chief of staff should I be successful in my run for U.S. Senate. This is from Jim in Lakeville. We've got everybody else deciding they're going to replace Tina Smith. Are you willing to be Jim's chief of staff, an individual you've never met? He could be the kindest guy you've ever met. He could be a psychopath. I don't know. Are you willing to say right now you will be his chief of staff?
No, I will not. I don't want to get anywhere near politics. Not interested at all. No. This is too. It's unbelievable. You, however, would be a good politician, I believe. You're very persuasive. You're persuasive.
I will be a good observer from the side. I'm not that is the waters I'm not jumping into for many reasons and other people don't. Let's keep it that way. Texter pointed out J-Mac.
What does a chief of staff do, by the way? Like, what's the job description?
Chief of staff helps coordinate schedules, who you need to meet with, which committees you should be on. Also comes up with lies when you screw up on something. Tips people off on stories that are very favorable about you. And often leaves in scandal. You know, it seems like the chief of staff gets in trouble. So, I mean, I don't think it's that great a gig. God, I really don't.
It's not. It's. I mean, chief of staff being a referee would be worse. I mean, it sounds like they're both awful.
They're neither good. This individual is talking about J-Mac and the fact that he's not here. Now, I was not in the J-Mac group like most of my friends, including you. I thought he had moments, but I thought if he was out there too long, he really was overexposed. But he was an adult. You know, he was an option where we're going to run the offense the right way. We're going to get guys the ball the right way. Now, maybe gets exposed defensively, is shooting problems. But that other adult backup point guard is not on this team.
Well, you know, one of my favorite, like, guys, like, we just chatted with them, and guys that kind of bounce around the league, they're on all these teams, and they have these long careers, and they play for 8, 9, 10 teams. There's a guy named Ish Smith. Remember Ish Smith?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Ish Smith bounced around the league, and, you know, he was one of those guys that got a job because, you know, he's only going to play 10 minutes. He's going to play 5 minutes a half, if that, maybe 3 or 4, you know. But for those 3 or 4, he's going to star in his role. He's good playing whatever you give him, and he's always going to be prepared and ready, and he's not going to hurt you when he comes in the game. And so there's a lot to be said about, you know, giving your starter a little bit of a break, a guy that's going to play 36, 37 minutes a game, Chad, that you need a guy that can only get out there and play 8 minutes and just not hurt you and maybe even help you and run and get you some good runs going. And that was J-Mac. J-Mac, he would come into the game with Naz Reid, and he was such a catalyst for Naz. That year when those two first came with Minnesota, Gerson Rosas, you know, brings J-Mac in from the G League, and then, you know, Naz was an undrafted free agent, and, you know, those guys went to the G League together and they played together. When they came up, they were awesome. And I think J-Mac was one of the first guys to kind of unlock Naz Reid. And so it's that kind of stuff. Cause like, that's not what Rob does. When Rob comes into the game now, he's looking to be a catalyst in a scoring kind of almost, not a ball hog, but you know what I mean? He's kind of looking for his shot. He's looking to create for himself where J-Mac was looking to create for others. And if he made a mistake, J-Mac had this incredible knack of, if he made a mistake or a turnover, he would go get a steal right away. It's almost like he was determined to make up for that mistake. So, I mean, we just don't have, and that's what, you know, the Kyle Andersons of the world, these are glue guys, and we just don't have enough of those kind of high IQ guys. And then Kyle not only could do it on the court, Chad, but he would do it in the locker room, and he would do it in the huddle, and he would keep guys accountable. He was as hard on Carl and Ant and all these guys as anybody. So, I mean, that's kind of the thing that Minnesota really misses. And in some ways, Dante was giving you that before he got hurt.
Let's pause. Let's talk about Anthony Edwards. He has been tremendous of late, except in one area. And obviously, he didn't start well, as we talked about earlier, last night or in Cleveland. But he's had 40-point games. But his issues at the end of games is notable. The stats are crystal clear. What's Jim's theory on that? And let's talk about Oklahoma City, the best team in the league, at Target Center tonight. And you'll check out Jim and Michael Grady. They're as good as any duo in the league. I watch a ton of games. It's the real deal. They're as good as any duo you have nationally or locally. They're on FanDuel tonight. Back with Jim in moments.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jim Peace right back with us. Okay, we're going to talk Anthony Edwards' end of games. Before I give you some data, Jim, which you know, but maybe the audience does not, on Ant at the end. Dave Harrigan, basketball savant, has his own theory on what happened to Anthony Edwards last night. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, it's two games in a row that you mentioned. He's at a very slow start. And, I mean, certainly last night we all knew the announcement, but I think even before that against Cleveland, Anthony Edwards was probably tipped off from the governor's office, from MnDOT, that the new snowplow name was going to be Anthony Sledwards. And, frankly, that's a big burden to carry. I think that was too much for Ant.
Likelihood Jim Peterson voted in naming the snowplow, that you took time out of your day and found the website where offering up names.
Well, you know, Grady, we had a read about that. Grady and I were kind of going through some of the names, and I swear to God, all of them escaped me right now. There were some good ones, though. This isn't the first time we've done this naming of the snowplow thing. So but Anthony Sledwards is, I think it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Stop.
No?
Just stop. Just stop. Just stop. Okay. Johnny K confirms it. The Anthony Edwards experience, here it is. With a chance to tie the game or take the lead with 24 seconds or less left in the fourth quarter overtime. I'm going to say it again. With a chance to tie the game or take the lead, 24 seconds or under, his field goal, he is 2 for 21. Okay. Yeah. I'd take him. Yeah. He's one of the stars of the future. He's a star right now. He's by far this team's best player. We think of him as a shot taker and shot maker, but let's be honest, Jim. 2 of 21 is awful.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to think of the two. I think that one of them was the shot in Sacramento that he hit, that Minnesota won a game on earlier in the season.
Yep. That's gotta be it. Yep.
In fact, that's one of them, and I think there might have been another one in Sacramento that he might have hit as well. But it's not a great record for Ant. There's really, you know, sometimes it's been shot selection, obviously, and like last night. Situation, you know, you can go back and forth on that. You know, I thought that it was just a 2-point game, so you didn't need a 3-point shot. But the Wolves had I don't know what your sensibility was on this, Chad, but the Wolves had, it was 10 seconds, and you had two timeouts left. Do you call a timeout right there and advance the basketball and try to give yourself a quick shot or attack to the basket and try to give yourself an offensive rebounding opportunity should you miss? So, I mean, like the way that play set up, I mean, they just went after, mm-hmm. you know, the free throw situation, and they just, you know, breezed up the court right away, and Chris Finch didn't call timeout. And sometimes those broken floor situations are the best way to get an open shot, and just coming down, because they don't want to foul, right? So.
Yep. I like it. Normally, Jim, I'm more of a just go guy. I like to go. Yeah. No, I did not. I mean, you raise a valid point with two timeouts. So a lot of people were saying, in fact, our friend Jace Frederick pointed out, I think he touched the paint three times last 5 minutes. Some of that is Brook Lopez, right? But, you know, it's not like Brook Lopez is Dikembe Mutombo in his prime. On the shot he took, do you think he should have just put his head down and challenged Lopez and went inside instead of taking the three for the lead? Now, this is a guy who's taken as many threes as anybody and who's made as many threes as anybody. So it's not like it was an atypical shot for him in a game.
I got to tell you, when he let that thing go, I thought it was going in. I didn't have a problem. I didn't have a problem with it. And I said it after the fact, too, because, like, I'm with you. Like, I think sometimes calling timeout and advancing the basketball, it's more difficult to get the ball inbounds a lot of times in those half-court situations than it is if you were just to take the ball up the floor and you know, bring it up the way they did it. And so, like, I didn't have a problem with it because I literally feel like whenever Ant shoots the basketball, it's going to go in. He leads the league in three-point percentage. I mean, like, he's you know, one of the great three-point shooters in the game. So, like, he's – I don't know. I don't feel like it's indicative of how clutch he is because he's made a lot of big shots. He's just not making them late in game situations. But I think it's also a primer for a young player. He's 23 years of age and he's been through all these scenarios, Chad. And I think that, you know, you have to go through this trial in order to get really good at it. So I think Ant's getting to the point where he's getting super comfortable being in these high pressure situations. And I think he's going to get better at it. I just don't think it's a matter of time.
Yeah, he's got to start making them, though. You know, and he doesn't have Carl, right? I mean, Carl, by the way, with back-to-back 40s and continues his brilliant season. You know, he does have other guys who can take shots, but in Towns, he had a co-pilot. Now, you get Oklahoma City tonight. Give us the latest on Chet Holmgren, somebody you've known for a long time because you know his dad. You've known his dad, Dave Holmgren, forever. Where are we at with Chet? And what are your thoughts on this Oklahoma City team, which has been the clear-cut best team in the league for the entire season?
Well, I mean, obviously they're getting back a player that is, I think he's going to be an All-NBA player. He's not yet, but he's going to be a multiple-time All-Star. I think he's such a talented young man. And they actually played last night, and so they're in a back-to-back situation themselves. So They rested Chet last night. They did not play him to save him for this game. So
yeah.
It kind of shows you where Mark Daigneault is in terms of prioritizing games against divisional foes. So, you know, so it's going to be difficult because, you know, Isaiah Hartenstein, they've got, you know, Naz Reid. It's going to be interesting to see, Chet. And so, I this is kind of a question for you because I feel like Chet Holmgren is one of the more unique players in the league, much like Naz Reid. And the way that Naz has handled the basketball is really, I mean, his archetype of player, he's really like a center power forward, right? So, and even more center, yep. Like the archetype of player that he is. And Chet Holmgren's been a center his whole career. He's obviously versatile. And I'm thinking about players that of that size and that archetype that can handle the basketball. I think Naz Reid is singularly unique, but I think Chet Holmgren is right there with him. You know what I mean? Because Chet's handle is I think, just really as good. Tight as Naz's is.
Yes.
And so when you think about the history of the game, Chet, how many bigs that are that bright type of player can handle the ball as well as these two guys can handle it? I mean, they're pretty unique,
I would say,
really unique players.
When we were working together, it was kind of the evolution of the power forwards who were doing that, right? Kevin,
yep. Rashid
Weber,
Waller.
Rashid, yep. Dirk. You know, not as yep. much Dirk, yep. but you're right. I mean, Naz and Chet are both get the rebound, and most often their teammates just jet away.
Double up the
right?
floor. Exactly. Yeah.
yeah. You yep. know, now yep. Naz, he had that great hoop late. Michael, that's such a great call where he just strides. I think of Naz striding. Where he just, it's like he's got that other, like, crossover step, not dribble, but you think he's going right, and he just fakes those guys out. Chet doesn't necessarily have that, but Chet is wondrous on defense, man. Chet, the stuff Chet does, I think, you know, it's his body, it's the injuries. But if that guy stays healthy for the next 10 years, he's a superstar to me. Naz maybe more of a star than a superstar, but Naz is durable. Naz plays all the time. Chet's got that's a legitimate factor with Holmgren's career going forward.
I had a knockdown drag out argument with a former Timberwolves assistant coach who I'm not going to name, but we had dinner one night, and it was me and Tika and Sanjay and this coach's wife, and we started talking, and this coach was particularly close to Karl-Anthony Towns. And Chet was still coming up. Chet was at Gonzaga at this time. And I started telling this coach, I said, Chet Holmgren's going to be better than Karl-Anthony Towns. And he went crazy. Like, he just went crazy. I said, I'm just telling you, I just think that he's going to be really special when he gets in the league. I think within a year or two, I think if you were to ask somebody if you would trade Karl-Anthony Towns for Chet Holmgren, I don't think they would take it. You know, I think that Chet Holmgren is that special. And I think if you went around Karl is really kind of, I think he's turned a lot of people's eyes in a different direction of how they view him.
He's been fabulous this year.
He's been good this year. And, you know, really, when you think about it, getting with Jalen Brunson for him, Jalen Brunson is probably the best point guard. Well, he is the best point guard that Karl's ever played with.
Yeah, take probably.
I mean, just having Jalen Brunson with him has really transformed his game. But I think if you think a year ago how people have perceived Karl-Anthony Towns, I don't think there's a player that – I don't think there's a GM in the league that would have traded Chet Holmgren for Karl-Anthony Towns. Do you agree with that?
I want to say this, and the injuries are a factor, and then I got to go. If I could have – because Karl shows no sign of age right now. If I could have Karl or Chet for the next 5 years, until I can see that Chet can play 60, 70 games on a regular basis, I'd take Karl.
Yeah, he's really – so this is an argument that happened a few years back, but you get my point. I mean, like, my point is I think Chet is really special. Because he's so good on both sides of the ball, and to your point, the defensive side, he just impacts the game so much, and I'm just gonna really enjoy. So I'm working with Horton tonight. By the way, I'm gonna be
great
with Horton because it's a national game. It's a TNT game tonight. So I could have either Chet. This is how giving I am.
Could have mailed it in.
I could have either been on my way to Cabo San Lucas right now with Tika Pete. I could actually be on the beach right now. By the way, I'd probably already be there.
Dumb decision.
Or I could stay and do the game with Horton tonight, and I chose to stay. So there you go.
Dave Harrigan, what do you want to say about that decision?
I just love the dedication. Thank you, Jim. Pete, we all salute you.
Thank you. See, I knew Dave would understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who's Tika with? That's the question. Tika found some 25-year-old. She's like, yeah, Jim, stay. We're good. All right. I got to go. Right, see ya.
Okay, thank you, Bob.
Off all to right. Cabo, but not before he works the game tonight on maybe another radio station, maybe an app. I don't know where they are, but he'll work with the great Alan Horton. You can find him on the Fan or somewhere or on the app. Tom Hauser, next on CCO. Let's get to Hauser here. Hauser, Daily Mail reports that Kanye and his wife, Bianca, have split and plan to divorce. You are on the pulse of Hollywood celebrities. I mean, Kanye seems like a stable, nice guy. Sure, he's hanging out at Temple Israel a lot. Tell me your inside information on Kanye and Bianca and why they split.
I thought you were going to say, and he's announced he's moving to Minnesota to run for the U.S. Senate.
I'm not eliminating it.
He could make it happen. I'm just saying.
Yes. Or he's going to stay where he's living, and he's running for the 40B seat. I mean, come on. I mean, why not?
It's been tried before with less than desirable results. Wouldn't it be great, though, if you could run for office from wherever you have available
exactly.
Zoom technology? So, like,
that's
you can
right.
run from Palm Springs, for instance. I'm just saying, if a guy were so inclined. But
hypothetically, if that's where I was, you know, I'm going to run for the Botswana mayor. You know, I mean, I can get that on Zoom, can I?
As long as you have a viable Zoom IP address, you can do whatever you want to do.
0 to 10, your surprise level when you watched the video and Tina Smith said, for personal, not political reasons, this is it. She's not running for re-election. And when the election takes place in 2026, she's going back. She's going to be a grandma. She's going to spend time with her dad and her family. And this is it. 0 to 10, how surprised were you? 0 is not at all. 10, gobsmacked.
I've got to be honest with you. It was about a 5. Because every time we've done our KSTP Survey USA polling, Stephen Scheer and I have sat down and gone through the numbers. And the one thing we agreed on each time was that Tina Smith has a problem in that her number of people who have no opinion of her is alarmingly large for someone who's been in office since 2018. I'm looking at our last numbers from early this month. Now, she had a 47% approval rating, which is not horrible, although I should point out it's the same as what Donald Trump has in the state.
Yes. Amy Klobuchar, I think that's noteworthy. Yeah.
Yes, it is. Amy Klobuchar is at 57. Tim Walz at 52. But here's where a number that's encouraging for her. Her disapproval was only 28 compared to 31 for Klobuchar and 44 for Governor Walz. But here's her problem. 25% had no opinion of someone who's been in office for nearly 7 years. That compares to 12% for Klobuchar and only 4% for Walz. I mean, people have made up their minds about Tim Walz, and that's a problem when you're going into a very volatile election year. If you've got to spend a lot of time, even though you're the incumbent, trying to tell people who you are and what you've accomplished, that number is a problem. So we have said for really several months, we wouldn't be surprised if she didn't run, but I had no idea which way she was leaning. Just a week ago, she was said in an interview, I think on NPR, she had every intention of running. So, you know, I took her at her word for that, but she says now you got grandkids and her father is getting older, and I can totally understand. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you want to spend more time with those people than the people in Washington, especially when you're in the minority, at least the next 2 years, maybe longer?
And I'm sure good reporting will take place from you and others to see if there's anything else besides this decision. I'm not suggesting she's not telling the truth, but guess what? You are paid good money to check and confirm if anything else is going on. Going back to the non-opinion, I'll go with what I said at the start of the show. When people think of Tim Walz, they're going to think of a variety of things tied to his run as governor, good and bad. Same thing with Klobuchar. Same thing with Emmer. Same thing with Ilhan Omar. Go down the list. Tom, Tina Smith does not have a signature issue. She's aligned with the Democrats pretty much 100%. As the former head of Planned Parenthood, she certainly spoke out against the Dobbs decision. But so did every Democrat on the planet. So I don't feel like she ever had a calling card where if issues A, B, and C came up, you knew Tina Smith, was going to be a part of it. And that's on her. That's on her and her staff for not carving out that niche. Is that a fair statement and criticism of Smith?
You know, it is fair. I mean, I would, when I think of Tina Smith, I do think of someone who fights for women's rights, especially when it comes to the abortion issue. Part of that has to do, as you mentioned, her background with Planned Parenthood. But she was a huge advocate for women's rights in that area. But as you point out, so were a number of Democrats. Amy Klobuchar has kind of carved out this consumer protection thing, yes, that every voter can relate to, whether it be pool drains or, you know, you yes, name the consumer issue where people's That's lives it. Might be at stake. They think of Amy Klobuchar. Tim Walz is all over the board. A lot of it was spending a lot of money on free school lunches and, you know, any number of things. His fight during COVID, trying to protect Minnesotans.
Yes.
And then maybe not a great report card on dealing with George Floyd and the National Guard and all of that. But Tina Smith, there is no one signature thing, but you can't say that was due to incompetence, because she was a very competent senator, just not someone who I never found to be real comfortable with trying to steal the limelight. You know, she, until she became lieutenant governor, she was always kind of in the background.
Behind the scenes.
Minneapolis politics or state politics, the DFL party, Planned Parenthood. And I don't know that she was ever totally comfortable being in that front row
Fair. Yep.
deal, kind of like Amy Klobuchar clearly relishes that role.
Let's pause, make it a short break, come back with Tom, and let's run through some names, including, is it possible we could see a Senate race on the DFL side, Tim Walz opposing Peggy Flanagan? Could that really take place? Hauser, back with his moments on CCO. Hauser Man is here. Okay. Peggy Flanagan, about four seconds after Tina Smith's video hit the web, I'm in. She is announcing she's running for the Senate seat. Multiple reports suggesting the governor is interested in the position. Let's go back to our 0-10 game, Tom. 0, there's no chance. 10, it is a mortal lock. Are we staring at Tim Walz and Peggy Flanagan, governor and lieutenant governor, facing off to win the nomination for the Democrats as the Democrat to be on the ballot next November to be the next senator in Minnesota?
So on 0-10, what do I think the chances are, essentially? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, that's it. That they're going to oppose each other.
I would say, because I don't want to be too wishy-washy and go 5, yeah, I would say it's a 6. Because yes, I don't know. It's hard anywhere to run for the same office 3 times and be successful. I saw it happen with Governor Terry Branstad down in Iowa when I worked down there, and he, I think, won election 4 times in a row. But it's pretty rare, because voters tend to tire of you in one role. Now, is that does it not make a difference whether he runs for governor or Senate? Are people going to be tired of him either way? It's hard to say, but, you know, what more is there left to accomplish as governor after 8 years that you're going to do in yet another four? I just think maybe it would be in his interest to run for the U.S. Senate and go back to Washington. And I think I would almost assure you Peggy Flanagan did not consult with him in those 4 seconds before she made this announcement, because she wanted to get to the head of the line. Now, just because you're first in line doesn't mean you're going to finish first, but it means you're out there. We're talking about her right now, and so she's in the conversation. That, I think, was her goal.
Okay, so he's told multiple people, yourself included, that he's going to make a decision sometime in the summer if he's going to run for governor. All those interviews took place before the Tina Smith announcement. So I assume it's going to be the same thing, right? That if Governor Walz is going to either run for re-election or back up everything you just said, hey, you know, third terms, it's hard. It there's a lot of blowback. I can still be a part of politics. I can go back to D.C. I have some cachet now. I would assume it's the same timeline. Now, Flanagan's not getting out. That's clear. Do you think the rest of the field, though, would clear? Would they say, okay, he's the big name. We're not knocking him off. Or could we just see some Donnybrook for the Democrats where there's an Angie Craig, there's an Ilhan Omar? Take your pick. Four or five big names are running for that Senate seat.
I don't see either Peggy Flanagan or Governor Walz to be candidates who will clear the field. He'll go, oh, well, he's running or she's running. I got no shot. I'm not going to run. Especially when you have, you know, Democrats have a fairly deep bench. Angie Craig, as you mentioned, you know, winning in a swing district and more convincingly this last time than any other time. She would be a good statewide candidate for Democrats. There are other people. I mean, there's been talk about Al Franken making a comeback.
Stop.
There's a guy with deep pockets, 100% name recognition, you know, but is he damaged goods? Is it not something he wants to pursue now that he's, what is he, 70 yet?
Yeah,
of course,
done.
It doesn't matter anymore. The president's 80, whatever. So
yeah.
I guess age is not as big of a factor as it used to be.
Al, Dave looks it up, 73. Okay. For the Republicans, I'm buying Emmer. I think Emmer has so much power and is so close to the speaker position. I don't think he's running. I am assuming one of the two seats Stauber is going to run for. I know what he's saying now, but then we get a lot of names, including on the media celebrity side. Michelle Tafoya, Liz Collin. What's your feel on the Republican side, and what kind of chance do they have to win this seat and become the first Republican senator since Norm Coleman and become the first Republican to win a statewide race since Tim Pawlenty?
I don't know that this is a celebrity candidate kind of year. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think there are so many potentially really qualified candidates. Of those people you mentioned, I could see Michelle Tafoya maybe breaking through some of that more than others because, you know, she left a great job in the NFL broadcasting to kind of,
for sure,
for a little dalliance in politics, getting involved, being more outspoken. And she was even starting that while she was still on national television. And I could see people taking her seriously as a candidate more than some of the others. But, you know, then you've got Dean Phillips. Did you mention Dean Phillips?
I didn't mention Dean. I mentioned how Dean's wording was interesting. And Dean is going to join us Monday to address it. So I won't be shocked if he's on a national show this weekend, but he's going to talk to us Monday, most likely starting the show.
I would be shocked if he would decide to run, because he has told you, me, and anybody who will listen, I'm not running for office again. And I can't remember if when I had him on At Issue, if I asked him specifically, what if a U.S. Senate? I'll have to go back and look. But he was just
He said he discounted both. But then today he said, it's not my intent. So
But he also said,
wording matters.
It's important to keep your word. So it's not my intention to run. So, you know, I would be gobsmacked if he decided to run. But it's amazing to me the names that are popping up. Kristen Robbins, who is a member of the Minnesota House. Her name is out there, as you mentioned, Tom Emmer, who came very close.
I've heard Tom Hauser's name.
Yeah. Good luck with that. People forget how close Tom Emmer came to being governor in 2010. I mean, it was a very close race.
He's got too much power, though, right now.
He's got a pretty good gig, as they say. It's kind of like you. You know, why would you leave that to run for the Senate?
Yeah, and plus, I have too much dirt. That's the problem, you know.
Well, there is that.
I mean, can I be senator from the Palm Desert? I mean, I think it's possible, right?
As long as you have a viable Zoom connection, you can serve from anywhere, and I will back you.
Thank you, sir. Tom, all over this tonight on Channel 5. Be well, my friend.
All right. And by the way, I'm talking to Tina Smith in about 15 minutes. So we'll have some of my interview with her tonight and again on At Issue on Sunday.
Excellent. Mr. Hauser, worth checking that out later today on Channel 5. We got a little CBS. We got a little bit of Ari. And at 2:35, we get a little bit of the next governor, Senator Jason Darsha.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.